This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Wednesday edition, New Hampshire puts its imprint on the presidential election last night. What do the results tell us, and what's ahead for the GOP presidential candidates in South Carolina? CNS News Editor-in-Chief Terry Jeffrey is here to analyze the results. Also, one of FRC's Watchman pastors is now serving in the South Dakota legislature, where he is leading the way in protecting religious freedom. Representative Scott Craig is here to explain. And a new poll shows women are opposed to the idea of being required to register for the military draft. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, joins me. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more about today's topics. Our guest, be sure and sign up if you visit the website for my daily update and our alerts. By the way, there is a petition there that you can sign that we're sending to the Republican presidential candidates regarding the draft, regarding requiring women to register. If you'd like to sign that petition, go to TonyPerkins.com. If you're on social media, if you're on Twitter, at T Perkins, you can keep up with me. A little bit later, we'll open up the phone lines. And if you're new to the program, jot down this number, 866-372-7234. Okay. After last night's New Hampshire primary, the focus immediately shifts to South Carolina, a much different state. But I don't want to overlook what took place in New Hampshire. You know, Donald Trump led the field by a pretty wide margin. Surprisingly, John Kasich, governor of Ohio, who has barely registered anywhere, came in second. Now, he spent almost every waking hour in New Hampshire. I think he's met just about every voter up there. He held like 100 town hall meetings and invested a lot of money. But some are saying the real winner of last night's contest was Ted Cruz. Projected to come in fourth or lower, Cruz was able to spend very little money and still maintain one of the top three spots. Now, according to press reports, this is how the money breakdown took place. According to press reports, Jeb Bush spent $1,200 per vote received, $1,200 per vote received. Governor Christie spent $852 for every vote that he obtained in New Hampshire. Senator Rubio spent $508 for every vote he received. Donald Trump, the winner, spent $40 per vote, and Senator Cruz, $18. Now, that's a conservative. All right. By the way, as a reminder, Washington Watch and all of the affiliates that carry this program do not oppose or support any candidate for president. If you would like to see or hear about my personal endorsement, you can head over to my Facebook page to find out about that. All right. Joining me now with his analysis of the New Hampshire primary results is CNS News Editor-in-Chief Terry Jeffrey. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, Terry, who was the big winner last night?
Well, I think you're right. It proves in a good position. He proves in Iowa he's strong in the Middle West. He's a senator from Texas. And I think he beat expectations by placing third. I also believe Kasich and Jeb Bush beat expectations, which isn't good for Marco Rubio. But there's some more clarity that emerged on some issues leading up to the New Hampshire primary that I think is going to play down the road as we move south in this primary season. For one, you had Saturday night in your debate, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, and Chris Christie say they are for all young women registering for the Selective Service, which I find quite remarkable. I don't think that's a conservative position, let alone to accept the idea that it's been advanced by the Obama Defense Department through Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter, that all combat roles in the U.S. military should be open to women, or will be open to women, and that being backed by the Commandant of the Marines and the Secretary of the Army. I know you're going to talk about this later in your show, but to have the prospect that a Republican president would not only have all young women in open to all combat roles, that all young women in the United States would have to register for the draft and potentially could be conscripted into the military and put in a combat role is a pretty remarkable position. Second, I think there's a lot more clarity on the abortion issue. You had Jeb Bush and Chris Christie attack Marco Rubio for his pro-life position, which is a lot similar, Tony, to what John McCain did in 2000 going into South Carolina when he attacked George W. Bush for backing the Republican pro-life plank, which says that the 14th Amendment applies to unborn children. So I think there's a little bit on the issues. I think that Bush may have hurt himself going forward. Marco Rubio took a good stand on pro-life and a very unusual one on the draft.
Yeah, I think that the draft was the surprising issue coming out of last weekend's debate. In fact, we've talked about it all week. And it's one that I think there's no question. It's cast a shadow over the Rubio campaign. I think if it hurt him in New Hampshire, it's clearly going to hurt him going into South Carolina, a state that has a lot of military presence and, unlike New Hampshire, a very strong evangelical presence.
Right. No, I don't think that, Rubio is strong in pro-life. I think that helps him in South Carolina, vis-a-vis Bush. But his stand on the draft, I think, is going to hurt him tremendously. But I think there's another thing that didn't really happen in New Hampshire, is more clarity on where Donald Trump stands on the issues. Where you had Jeb Bush and Chris Christie going after Marco Rubio for being a solid pro-lifer, you didn't have anybody going after Donald Trump to try and get him to clearly explain where he stands on the pro-life issue and why he stands there and how solid he is now after his conversion, and or where he stands on drafting women and putting them in combat roles. So I think one of the things that we're going to see happen as we move forward is there's going to be more effort to make Donald Trump explain just exactly how he is, just exactly what his positions are on issues like that, and what sort of thinking he undertook to get to the position he now has, which in many circumstances is dramatically different than where he was not so long ago.
And he's been able to avoid that up to this point. So it's very, very interesting. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Terry Jeffrey, my guest. He is the editor-in-chief of CNS News. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. CNSNews.com, great source of information. I use it. Trustworthy, accurate, conservative, and it's not funded by the government. All right, Terry, let's break that down a little bit. When you look at New Hampshire, Donald Trump running away with it, but New Hampshire allowed independents and even Democrats to cross over to vote in the Republican primary.
Right. And South Carolina has a closed Republican primary. Independents can't come in. And also New Hampshire and Iowa, by the way, people can show up on the day of the caucus and register. So South Carolina is different. You have to be a Republican, you have to be a registered Republican, and you go and vote in the primary. And can I tell you another interesting thing? I'm not sure it's gotten as much attention as it should, but Gallup came out with its findings from its daily tracking poll all through 2015. And they said, Tony, that in their judgment, by their measure, New Hampshire is the least religious state in the union. And the way they decided that is they asked people, do they go to church at least once a week or every week or almost every week or seldom or never? And do they think that religion is important or not important? And in a smaller percentage of people in New Hampshire, only 20 people in New Hampshire, 20% of people in New Hampshire, said that both religion is important and they go to church at least once a week or almost every week. That was lower than any other state. This campaign is now moving into states like South Carolina, where people see the centrality of faith in their life on a much higher frequency than we see in New Hampshire. And I think that's going to have a different impact on the way these primaries play out going forward.
Yeah, no question. I mean, especially where we saw in Iowa, where we saw an increase in the evangelical turnout, 62%, over 60% of voters being evangelical. That's clearly different in New Hampshire, but now down into South Carolina. And it's going to be interesting what's going to happen now with Marco Rubio not doing so well in New Hampshire, struggling. And really the only other strong competition is Ted Cruz for the evangelical vote. Where do they go in South Carolina?
Well, I think we're going to find out, but I do think this position that Marco Rubio took on the draft is going to be a hard sell in South Carolina. Quite frankly, I think it's going to be a hard sell of conservative primary voters all across the country. Also, you have Kasich talking like he's going to stick it out until at least March 15th when you have the Ohio primary. He also thinks he might do well in Michigan, which is on March 8th. So even if Kasich doesn't do well in South Carolina and he only draws a few points, you have to figure he's going to be taking those votes not away from Ted Cruz, not away from Donald Trump, but away from Bush and Rubio. So you're going to see that three-way divide among that vote. And so that doesn't bode well for Marco Rubio either.
You know, this is really interesting in this cycle. Usually it's the conservatives that are chopping up the vote. There's too many conservatives that are taking away that base vote. And this time it's the moderates where they're fighting for that portion of the Republican vote.
Yes, it is. It's quite different. I mean, you know, last time we had Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich dividing the vote against Mitt Romney. And this time it's quite different. But, of course, it's very different with Trump.
Right.
Because two things are happening. We're getting more Republican turnout. There was more Republican turnout in New Hampshire last night or yesterday than there were the last two times around.
Right.
And obviously a lot of those folks in New Hampshire came out for Donald Trump. Yeah, and as you say, we don't have these independents coming out in South Carolina, so it's a little different. But I suspect that the turnout will be big in South Carolina. And
now, let me ask you this, Terry. We're almost out of time, but let me ask you this. Donald Trump spending only $40 per vote. Obviously, he didn't invest a whole lot in the state, as he didn't in Iowa either. Did he have any kind of ground game, or is this all just kind of organic in that he is in creating this enthusiasm and is turning people out?
Well, my understanding is he doesn't have the kind of ground game that Cruz or Rubio or say, Christie did in New Hampshire, but you know, he did turn people out. And that part of the organization of a presidential campaign gets less important as we move forward, Tony. And by March 8th, half of the states, we're talking less than a month from now, half of the states will have had their primaries and caucuses. And then right after that, on March 15th, we have Florida, Illinois, Missouri, North Carolina, Ohio in one day. So this thing, you know, what the dynamics of the campaign on the ground in Iowa and New Hampshire, where they're small states, candidates have a long time to organize, even if they don't have a ton of money, where candidates can get out and do a lot of meet and greet, rallies, town halls, meet people. It's not going to be that way going forward. And that aspect of it will, in fact, work to Trump's favor because the kind of things that the other candidates were doing on get out to vote and so forth are not as important.
Well, we're going to be watching it, obviously, very closely. Terry Jeffrey, thanks so much for joining us and giving us an analysis of what took place in the Granite State last night. All right, folks, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. And again, I recommend CNSNews.com as a source of news and information. You can sign up and get their daily news alerts directly from them. All right? Okay, when we come back, going to talk to a pastor who is now fighting for religious liberty in the state legislature in South Dakota. We're going to talk with Representative Scott Craig when we return. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this. Fear not. If you've read the Bible, you've read those words. But have you ever paused to meditate upon their meaning? In almost every case where God spoke those words, it preceded something extraordinary being done through ordinary people. God told people like Abraham, Gideon, and the apostles to reject their fears because fear holds us back from experiencing all that God wants to do in us and through us. We can't operate in fear and in faith. Faith says advance, fear says retreat. Do you want to know how to live with no fear? That's the focus of my new book, No Fear, Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. You'll be inspired and hopefully challenged by the real-life stories of young people who are standing up for Jesus in an increasingly hostile culture. You'll also read the biblical accounts of those who stood for God in their day and learn how to stand in a way that honors Christ. Learn to live with a holy reverence for God, and you'll have no fear of man. For more information, go to TonyPerkins.com.
In India, a young girl named Deepa was in trouble.
I had no freedom. In fact, every night was the same story. The same beatings, the same abuse.
Deepa had been trafficked and sold into the red light areas of Mumbai.
In the brothel area, I requested the social workers to pray for me so that my troubles and my torments would come to an end.
Those social workers are the staff from India Partners. And through this ministry, Deepa was rescued and taken to a safe house.
I get all I want, good food, good clothes, safety, and love. But above all, I found Jesus. I pray to Jesus every night that I will never go back to that place.
A gift of $7.08 will provide a full day of safety, rescue, and care through India Partners. How many days can you provide? Call now, 800-343-0903, or give online at afr.net.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
To Washington Watch, I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. Another factoid from yesterday's New Hampshire primary. Overall spending, this is according to New Hampshire, reporting that in total, Jeb Bush spent $36 million. Governor Christie, $18.5 million. This is just in New Hampshire. Marco Rubio spent $15.2 million. John Kasich spent $12.1 million. Donald Trump spent $3.7 million. Carly Fiorina spent $1.8 million. And Ted Cruz spent $580,000. Wow. A lot of money and not a lot of return on some of those dollars. All right, for the last 10 years, we've been working here at FRC to create a network of informed and engaged pastors. It's called our Watchmen on the Wall network of pastors. Now, that network now contains, thousands of pastors. And for the last few years, it happened about 3-4 years ago, at the urging of pastors, we launched what is called our Fellowship of 300. These are pastors who feel called to take it a step further and run for public office. And many have gotten elected. And one of those pastors is now a legislator who is leading the way in defending religious liberty in South Dakota with the Government Non-Discrimination Act. Joining me now to explain the bill is the sponsor of the Government Non-Discrimination Act, South Dakota State Legislator Scott Craig. Scott, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, it is so good to be with you again.
How you doing?
Well, you know, doing pretty good. Fighting the good fight. And we thank you for your help, especially on this very bill we're going to talk about, the Governmental Non-Discrimination Act. FRC's Tina Gonzalez, he has jumped in. He has helped us so much with the heavy lifting and also, you know, the alliance that we cherish FRC has with ADF. Matt Sharp, attorney, he's out here right now helping us with this. And then, of course, Dale Barcher, who you know, and I don't know how many of our listeners have heard that name before, but the executive director of our Family Policy Council, the Family Heritage Alliance. We're just working really hard to make sure that we keep our freedoms, our First Amendment rights.
Well, Scott, tell our listeners about the bill, the Government Non-Discrimination Act.
Sure will. You know, after the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage, the pressure to approve of same-sex marriage is just continuously increasing for religious schools, nonprofits, public employees, private employees, small business owners, you know, entities that interact with the government through grants, contracts, and other means. And, you know, we're finding out that the real list of victims of intolerance and discrimination, as it's growing monthly, it's growing because we are becoming a society that accepts everything except those who do not accept everything. And here we have arrived at a day that our founding fathers never would have envisioned, where erotic freedom would trump religious freedom. And so we need something like GINDA, the Government Non-Discrimination Act, and we're calling it out here HB, House Bill 1107. And, you know, we're trying to protect three specific things within that bill. The protections are very clear, very narrow, what these protections are, very defined, and it's simply to protect you, a citizen, from any government discrimination. You know, here's the government that, right, within our First Amendment, supposed to protect our freedom to believe and to speak what we believe. But when the government turns course and then would punish us for our speech, our actions, our just our rights, our beliefs, then what we've got to do is, ironically, in a country that these rights are supposed to be preserved, we've got to add some clauses within law to bring protection. If this narrow scope is, if number one, you believe that marriage is defined as one man and one woman, and number two, if you believe that sexual relations are reserved to marriage, that context, you know, not stepping out on your spouse, not open marriages, not, you know, having sexual intimacy before marriage, but sexual intimacy between a man and a woman in the context of marriage. And then number three, that your understanding of gender is very specific, that a male is a male, a female is a female, and that has been determined. It's in your DNA. It is unchangeable. And if you believe those things, that the government then in our state, if we pass this law, should not ever be able to take discriminatory action against you.
So in essence, what this does, Scott, is that it says that, say, you're a school, and mm-hmm. you're a Christian school, and you have a standard of ethical conduct, a sexual conduct, you have a stated view of marriage, a biblical view of marriage, then the state government cannot come and penalize you, take away your tax exemption or deprive you of accreditation or anything like that simply because of those views. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct, because those kind of things are actually happening in the United States of America, where, right, where states are saying, yeah, we're going to yank your accreditation unless you change your definitions and your teaching regarding marriage and sexuality.
And this has nothing to do with individual parties. It's only the state. It prohibits the state from taking discriminatory action against a Christian institution.
Absolutely. Of course, anybody can sue anybody for anything. But this simply, right, would say the government can't jump in there. Like, you know, we've seen attorney generals do in Washington, right, state. You know, hey, the attorney general is going to come in and add some additional litigation and try to, you know, sue somebody for the house, their bank account, their business itself. And we say the state's got to stay out of it.
Scott, we're up against a break. Real quickly, what's the status? Where's it go next?
Well, I'll tell you, we are thrilled to report that we made it sail out of the House with, again, your help, at a vote of 46-10. And it's now on its way to the Senate. It's going to be a little heavier lift, but again, you know, we've got you and ADF with us to help us try to get this through the Senate and off to the governor's desk.
All right. Representative Scott Craig, thanks so much for being with us and for being a watchman on the wall.
Well, thanks for being the tip of the spear, Tony Perkins. I love you and pray for you today.
All right. Look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thanks,
Representative,
brother.
Scott Craig from South Dakota, a pastor who is fighting for religious freedom, not only in the pulpit, but literally in the halls of government there in South Dakota. And there's many others out there. I know that makes the left nervous. And it should. It should. Really, it should. All right, folks. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the author of a book, Running God's Way, talking about how Christians can run for office, when we're joined by Vicki Hartzler. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, here's some relief. President Obama has put forth his 2017 fiscal year budget. Yeah, that makes you feel better, doesn't it? And there's people talking about this budget and all concerned about the things in the budget. Let me just make something real clear about this budget so nobody gets confused out there. The president has put forth a budget every single year since he's been in office, right? And he submits it and he gives it over to the House of Representatives. And I love the budget because the budget allows me to have a glimpse of his ideology and what he stands for. And I love that. That's good. And that's what I use it for. But make no mistake about it. This budget is no different than any other budget that he's put forth. We don't do budgets in Washington anymore. This budget's not going to get passed any more than any other budget got passed because we don't do budgets. We do continued resolutions. Continued resolutions. That's what we do now. It's a beautiful thing. There's no accountability. And I suspect that the leadership under Paul Ryan is not going to be a whole lot different on that front. So don't get all stressed over the things that are in this budget that President Obama put forth. The other news that I want to mention is, of course, the Supreme Court blocks Obama's carbon emissions rule. That is very good news. And that is a victory for industry in this country. This is EPA regulation at its finest. And it was going to literally put coal miners, some natural gas, other power plants totally out of business. They made that case in front of the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has blocked this order until they can get some more information on it and thoroughly look at what this is going to do to the American economy and industry. And that's good news.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks for being with us. Let's do this. I want to hear from you regarding the issue we've been talking about all week. There was a poll out that discusses where people stand on this issue of religious freedom, and on the draft. All right, and coming up, I'm going to have Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler is going to be on, and I talked with her about a poll that was out regarding women being forced to register for the draft. All right, so we're gonna get with her. And talk with her about that. And I want to continue this conversation because a lot of you have been weighing in on this issue. And let me find some mail from last night. And I think we have Congresswoman Hartzler. All right. Well, I don't think we have her. All right, we're going to come back to her. All right. Let me go to this. We'll see if we can't get that worked out and get her on. I'm going to talk with her about a book that she has written, as well as this issue of women being forced to register for the draft. But let me go to some of the email messages that we got last night. Coming in. One regarding this was from a listener. This is from Kyle. And I'm just going to read what Kyle had to say. He said, "It is our duty as men to protect women." Now, I know this is going to drive some on the left crazy, but look, I'm allowing people to express their opinions here, and I'm going to make comments after this. And I don't know what you think. We're going to be taking your phone calls here as we continue this discussion about whether or not women should be forced to register for the draft. He said, it is our duty as men to protect women. Some women don't feel they need to be protected. I believe we should protect them anyway. When I open a door for a woman with good manners, she will say, thank you. When one without manners will look annoyed and say nothing. Either way, I will continue to open doors for ladies, thank you or not. We must continue to sacrifice to defend our country as men, even if we don't feel appreciated by the joining of women to the front lines of combat. However, drafting women rips them from their fathers and husbands. It also rips away their honor. We would be treating women worse by drafting them. We need more gentlemen appreciating women instead of trying to drag them down to the level of men. That comes from Kyle. As I was reading that, I was thinking of what, and we've talked about this week, but this is a good example. Western civilization treats women much differently. You don't believe that's the case? Just look at what's happening in the Middle East, in the eastern part of the world, the Far East, especially in the Middle East, Muslim-dominated countries. And the reason the West, Western civilization, has a high view of women is because it has been largely shaped by Christianity. And Paul, in Ephesians 5, gives instruction to husbands. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that's ingrained in our society. And so it is natural for men to want to protect women. Now, does that mean all women need to be protected? No, it does not. Some of them can do quite well themselves. And that's fine. I'm happy about that. But when you look overall, that has been the mindset of Western civilization. And it has worked out quite well. And this is a part of this push for equality where we eliminate the difference between the sexes. And quite frankly, you can put it on paper, you can say that it's different or that there's no difference, but the reality is there is a difference. So there was a poll, and I'm going to mention this in a minute, a survey out. Rasmussen did a poll that showed that a majority of women are opposed to the draft. Now, it was interesting that a majority of the men actually were in favor of it. Now, I don't know what's behind that, whether or not they're afraid to be called chauvinist if they say they don't think women should vote or what. I don't know. I mean, be forced into the draft. I don't know. Anyway, all right, when we come back, we're going to get this worked out. We're going to be joined by Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, and then we're going to be taking your phone calls as we continue this conversation about whether or not women should be forced to register for the draft and, under the current setup of our military, be forced into frontline combat. That's what's at stake here. All right, folks, you're listening to Washington Watch, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at TPerkins. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri right here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
The American Marines raising the flag on the island of Iwo Jima. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is the Iwo Jima Memorial. We will visit it in Washington, D.C. on our spiritual heritage tour. It's to honor the Marines that have gone before us to defend our country's freedom over the centuries. We're going to see the Iwo Jima Memorial, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more on our tour of Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon in June and September. In addition, we'll have a trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So much of American history on display there. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will lead the way for our tour as I host it. So if you want more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com and join us in June or September.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's Melissa Clayton.
I've been in our urban missions for 25 to 30 years. Wesley has been part of God's surprise journey for me, a wonderful fellowshipping journey of knowing the Lord and Savior like I've never known Him before.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
The AFA Action Voter Guide is dedicated to helping Christians become informed voters in state and national elections. The AFA Action Voter Guide informs voters by providing an in-depth, fact-based understanding of the candidates. The AFA Action Voter Guide is available now at afaaction.net, where you'll also find contact information for elected officials and resources for voter registration. Get the AFA Action Voter Guide today at afaaction.net. A message from AFA Action.
The book Moses Was a Basket Case, Hilarious True Stories to Encourage and Inspire by our own J.J. Jasper, was originally published in 2001 and quickly became a bestseller. Because of renewed interest, limited edition copies were printed, updated with a brand new lost chapter that was inadvertently left out of the first edition. We thought there were enough books to go around. Apparently not.
Yeah, we were shocked at Christmas time when the book sold out in only 6 days. When we said WOW supplies last, we meant it. However, we heard from lots of people upset because they didn't get their copy. So, we've printed some more copies of Moses Was a Basket Case. The stories are zany, but they really are true. And you know, through all of this, what this shows me is that even during difficult times, people love to laugh.
Moses Was a Basket Case is available while supplies last at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. All right, a new poll out by Rasmussen confirms what so many of you have said this week. There is a lot of opposition to the idea of women being required to register for the draft. Now, less than half of Americans actually agree that women should be required to register for the draft. And surprisingly, in this poll, 62% of men said they agree with it. Now, I don't know if what's behind that, whether men are afraid to be seen as chauvinistic or what, but 52% of women oppose the idea. Now, my question is this about equality or insanity? I tend to think it's the latter. Well, joining me now is a member of the House Armed Services Committee. She represents the 4th Congressional District of Missouri, Vicki Hartzler, and, by the way, author of the book Running God's Way. Congresswoman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be here.
Hey, before we jump into the topic, you have a book out. It's a revision of a book that you have written about how to run for political office God's way. Tell our listeners about that.
Sure. It's a one-stop resource for people of faith to help them successfully run for political office. You know, we need people who have integrity and morals and who will seek God in their decisions for this country and have a heart for ministry and service to their fellow man, serving at all levels from the school board to the state house, the county courthouse to the White House. So this is something I put together a few years ago and then have revised now and updated with the latest information on social media, and it's got great information for anyone who's considering running for office or who wants to encourage and help someone else too. So I hope people will realize that we have many of our cultural battles taking place at the local level, and we need to be proactive and get people of faith to run for office, to be on that school board to begin with, rather than being on the defensive and trying to get them to reverse policies that don't adhere to our faith. So I encourage everyone to get a copy of this book and either run themselves or encourage someone they know to run.
I could not agree more. I think that's how we change things. We actually get in the arena. And anyway, it's a great book. I've read it and my endorsement's on the book. If you'd like to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. Running God's Way, how to run for office the way God would have you do it. And Vicki is a great example of that. Well, speaking of elections, one of the issues that came up last week, weekend, in the presidential debate in New Hampshire was this idea of forcing women to register for the draft. It's become a big issue this week, as many people have been speaking out in opposition. I just mentioned a new poll out showing that the majority of women are opposed to the idea. I want to get your take on this, because this is something that would require congressional action, and you serve on the House Armed Services Committee. What is the likelihood that we're going to see women forced to register for the draft?
Well, I don't think you'll see Congress pass it, but I am concerned. There was a Supreme Court decision several years ago that upheld that women do not have to register for the draft, and the reason was because Congress had specifically exempted women from combat roles. But now the administration is changing that policy by executive action, and women are going to be in all areas of the military, including perhaps Navy SEALs and everything else. And so the question has been raised, well, now if that is challenged in court, which it has been, there is a lawsuit that is moving forward. What will the court rule this time? Because if the policy is not to have, is to allow women in all positions in the military, then why wouldn't they be? So we could weigh in and try to stop this, but this is very concerning. I think it's just political correctness run amok. We need to get back to common sense and make sure that our decisions in our military are based on what is actually going to accomplish the mission, and that is to keep the American public safe and to keep their fellow soldiers safe. The Marines have done a year-long study, and it came back showing that gender-integrated units, I should say, in some of these areas were less effective in combat. They were slower. They weren't as lethal in their ability to shoot, and it wasn't good for the women themselves. They had a much higher rate of injury. So we need to think seriously about this and do what's actually best to accomplish the mission, not just make these decisions based on what's politically correct.
What's concerning to me is we expect this out of the left. This has been a part of President Obama's agenda to thrust his radical social policy onto our nation's military. But the fact that we've got GOP presidential candidates basically falling in line with this is extremely troubling.
I think they're scared of the backlash and that someone could say, well, you're criticizing women. But I think instead it would be a winning issue to say, no, we're speaking up for our daughters. And this is, I think, crazy to have our daughters be drafted and potentially forced to serve in a combat position. And you know, it's one thing to be a volunteer, and I applaud the women who have stepped forward and want to serve their country in this way, and women have served in many roles, very capably in our military, and I think they should be applauded. But
right.
It's a whole different thing to draft them and to force our daughters or our sisters or our wives into having to serve in a combat role.
That,
it's
absolutely.
Just doesn't make sense.
That is the issue, volunteer or be forced, and I agree with you. I mean, it is. And Congresswoman, thanks so much for being with us. Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Follow the links over. You can actually get a copy of her book there on the website, Running God's Way. In fact, I'm going to have her on the weekend program. If you catch the weekend edition of Washington Watch, I'm going to be talking with her more about her book, Running God's Way. All right. I want to know what you think. 866-372-7234. Should women be forced to register for the draft? Now, this issue, which sprung up in last week's GOP presidential primary debate in New Hampshire, really has, more than any issue thus far, has had an impact on this presidential election, because it was such a shock that we have Republicans that are falling in line with the left's liberal agenda of trying to remove any distinction between the sexes. All right, I want to know what you think. Phone lines are full. Let's go to Ricky in Louisiana. Ricky, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah, so I want to preface what I'm about to say so you'll know I'm anything but unpatriotic. I was in three branches of the armed services. I joined when I was 16 and volunteered to go to Vietnam, 82nd Airborne Infantry Combat Arms. So not only will the socialist government not draft my daughter over my dead body, I got two sons. The socialist, communist, sodomite commander-in-chief is not going to even draft my two sons.
Well, I think you're pretty clear on where you stand there, Ricky. I will say I agree with you on the first part. I will not let the government draft my daughters. All right? Not going to happen. Now, in the event of a national emergency in which the draft were reinstituted, you know, my sons would do their duty. Although I share your concerns about what the military has been brought to this low point of, yeah, I mean, it's nothing more than a laboratory for this president's social experimentation. And let me just say, this is why this election is so important. We've got to have a leader that will turn it around. And by the way, folks, we have on the website a link to our 2016 Presidential Voter Guide. Go to TonyPerkins.com and see where the candidates stand on these critical issues so you'll know who to vote for. You can cast an informed vote when you vote. Ricky, thanks so much for the call. All right, we're going to try to work in a couple more calls here. We don't have a lot of time. But I want to go to Iris in Texas. Welcome to Washington Watch.
I wanted to make two comments. I'm definitely 100% with you. I think it's insane. I watched the debate and I thought, are these people crazy or what? I have granddaughters that I don't want to see, and I will pray with every fiber of my being and speak out whenever I can against it. And I wanted to make one other comment, too. I loved hearing Dr. General Boykin the other day about the position about Israel and women in combat, because when I was here a few years ago, our leader, our guide, was a former military officer, and he said that Israel did try women in combat for a very short time, but it did not work, and they do not do it, and that is a big myth, and I'm glad that General Boykin clarified that. And this is going to be a matter of prayer for me because I don't want to see it ever happen.
All right, Iris, thanks so much. Absolutely, and if you missed that interview with General Boykin, you can catch it on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Very insightful. He was attached to the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, for a time, and so he very, very knowledgeable in terms of how the IDF operates. All right, we're going to go to Arkansas, and let's talk. Is it Duann?
Yes.
And welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
And what do you think?
Well, I've been teaching for over 30 years, and I, you know, whenever I know that, what is it, Israel that has, what do they have, 2 years required community or like country service for both men and women whenever they graduate?
Actually, I think they have mandatory 6 months of full-time service in the military, and then they're in a reserve status after that.
Okay, for both men and women?
Correct.
Okay, because I sure don't want to see women in combat that don't want to be, or even if they want to be, that have not passed the same standard test that guys have. Because, you know, like a lady said yesterday, I don't want my son in a foxhole with a girl that can't carry him out if something happens. You know, I mean, but I will tell you, I see as a teacher for the last several years, it really concerns me that parents are not concerned to be raising kids to have any, I'm not talking about all parents, but so much of our population, it's like, they are not preparing their children to leave home, be independent at all, have any kind of fortitude about them. And I think if they knew that when they graduated high school, they were going to have a year or two, I'm not talking about till they're 30, but a year or two of required service in the military, non-combat or whatever, you know, but to where they knew that they were going to have their precious kids ready to do something in the world besides play video games or whatever.
You're saying it would be good for them to grow up, that this would help, number one, awaken them to the reality that they actually have to do something in life after high school. Is that what you're saying?
Something in the world, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll have to admit, it was the best thing I ever did. 1 week after I graduated from high school, I was in at MCRD, the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, and it was the best decision I ever made. Now, I don't think it's for everybody. In fact, I could tell. I mean, we lost half our platoon. But I think some type of service is good. I especially think it's good for males. And a lot of the problems we have in our society is that we have boys that don't know how to be men. And unfortunately, a lot of that's because they don't have fathers to show them those things. And so, Duane, I think you're right. I think there is something to be said for service of some sort. Maybe it could be some other type of voluntary service that kids could have to do to serve the community. I think it's good as voluntary. But your point is well made, extremely well made, because I agree with you. And part of that is because parents, and this falls on the parents, that we need to be teaching our children that, you know, there's going to come a time when, you know, it's not just making up your bed and cleaning up your room. It's actually making life work. It's paying the rent. It's putting food on the table. And we do a disservice to our children by not preparing them to be ready. And, you know, they go off into college and, you know, some make that transition well and they grow through that experience. Others just, it's a continuation of high school. It's high school 2.1. And it's just all about having fun. Duane, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. And we're not going to get to the other calls. We're almost out of time. But again, this is a topic that's generated a lot of interest this week, and we're going to continue to talk about it some, because I think it's so far this has been the issue that has come up in this presidential primary cycle that has had an impact on the election. I think it had an impact on New Hampshire, and I clearly think it's going to have an impact in South Carolina. Again, we expect these things from the left. We're not expecting so-called conservatives to fall in line behind the left's agenda and march down this path. But so far, that's exactly what's happening. The only candidate in this race that has spoken out in opposition to this is Senator Ted Cruz. All right, we're going to be broadcasting tomorrow from South Carolina. I'm going to be down in South Carolina tomorrow and Friday. The attention of the nation turns to South Carolina, where the next presidential primary for the GOP takes place on February the 20th. So tune in tomorrow night. I'll have some special guests as we're down there in South Carolina. All right, folks, thanks so much for being with us. As always, great to have you along. And until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6. Where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you, that's right, you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.